Hey, comedy fans, welcome to another episode of the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. I'm your host. My name is Vinny, and joining me today in studio, it is the very funny Mr. Dan St. Germain. Today's episode and every episode is brought to you by Comedy at the Carlson, the only place you'll be able to see Dan St. Germain and Dan Soder this weekend. There are four shows left over the next two nights, and tickets are available now at carlsoncomedy.com. And now, let's talk with Dan. Good morning, Carlson casters. My guest today is a writer, comedian, and an actor. He's has a myriad of TV appearances. You've seen him on This Is Not Happening, Conan, Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. And folks, he is here for four shows this weekend with our pal Dan Soder. It's incredible to have you here. This is like happenstance. I didn't know you were going to be here till this week, and I'm very excited that you are. It's Dan St. Germain.
Hey, Vinny, how's it going? Good to, nice to see a old familiar face.
Well, Dan, I got to say, man, you surprised us all with this appearance in Rochester this weekend.
Oh, yeah. I'm lucky. I've been fortunate enough to be opening for Dan, you know, and Dan's one of the best in the country. He's taping his, new hour in Portland and San Fran next month, so we're just kind of gearing up towards that on this leg of the tour. But it's been a blast, man. I love the club, and you know, everybody I've met here has been a total sweetheart, so can't complain.
Well, glad to have you, man. Question: I've been going back and watching some of your stand-up, and you killed last night. I'm going to be here tomorrow night for the show.
Oh, thank you, buddy. I'm trying to work in the new stuff.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. It seems like you're doing some new stuff, and it's going over hot.
Oh, appreciate that. Yeah, I filmed a special in June, and we're going to release it. Right now, it's me and 800-pound gorilla, but we may be adding someone else who's a bigger production company, and then we're going to probably distribute it on YouTube. When this thing comes out, I want to have at least, you know, a new half hour nobody's seen before. And then I found all these like old tapes of me doing stand up. There's all these bits that I don't even do anymore that I'm just going to put online to, you know, kind of get more people to my Instagram page. But it's fun, man. I mean, you know, like that's the reason to do this. It's the reason why it's the hardest. And it's also the reason to do this. You know, like you get to. Anyway, everyone gets bored with comedy process, so let's move on. Actually, I was just starting to bore myself as I talk.
Yeah, I was going to interject there, but you really seemed in the zone for a second.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
You got it. No problem. Man.
I that's weird though. I am excited about comedy right now, so that's how you know I'm excited. If I'm like talking like I'm in like the green room with Paul Provenza or something, you know,
the faraway eyes. Yeah. So. Dan, when you go back and you see old footage of yourself, not too much comedy process here, but when you go back and you see old material that you did and jokes you don't remember that you did, that's a good feeling, right?
When they're good, sure.
Okay, okay.
And when they're not good, you're like, I've learned a lot, you know?
How far I have come, what a long, strange trip.
But there's some, you know, and then there's certain things that you're like, oh, well, I could do that. I could maybe do this over again, you know? It's not fun to watch old clips of yourself. It's not fun to, you know, like, I don't know about you. I hate listening to audio over, you know?
I hate my own voice, man.
Yeah, I think that's the issue. You know, you and you're around yourself all the time, so.
All right. But you started doing stand-up really young, right? Like, you started 22. In high school. Didn't you start in high school?
I did it once in high school. I never started in high school.
Okay.
So I did, like, a lot of plays in high school. I had, like, a sketch comedy club, but we had, like, one show. I did like stand up maybe. I did stand up maybe like twice in high school.
Okay,
and then another time I did like kind of like a late night thing where I like did like, you know, monologue joke shoot essentially. And then after that, I really was just more into writing in college. I did like maybe stand up once in college for like a theater project, but I really started hitting it right after college, like 22. And there's been times where I've taken a year off, you know? So I think like total, I've probably been doing it 15 years.
Okay.
You know, if you take off, you know, COVID and the year I took off and stuff like that, you know?
So that's interesting though. You tried it a couple of times. You thought you were like kind of always leaned into that world. It seems like.
Well, it's not to get, you know, too, you know, in the details again, but yeah, it's, you know, if you're a guy that likes to write and perform, it's, you can always go to an open mic, you know, like it, no matter what. So if you're not getting bookings, you can at least, you know, at the very worst, pay $5 to go up between two guys, you know, singing Santana on an acoustic guitar. And I think that that's it's beautiful, man. I think that that kind of attracted me, especially because I was about to get into the theater world where you're always dependent on somebody else's bookings, you know?
Well, you know, I know you do stand up. You're you know, a headliner. You tour across the country. You've done amazing things. You have, like, as you said, a special coming out that I can't wait to see.
Yeah, it should be fun. Dance Fatty Dance. That's what the special name should be called.
Dance Fatty Dance.
Yeah.
All right. 5 stars on the title. I'm a fan. So I guess what I'm asking you is, do you foresee yourself more in the world of acting and writing? Like, is that what you really are passionate about? And like, stand-up's like the thing that you like really enjoy?
I'm starting to get more passionate about stand-up now. I mean, like, look, you know, I'm developing a show with Dan Soder. We're still writing that show for Peacock with, okay. You know, it's in the development phase. So it's been in the development phase for a while. But I mean, I would love to have my own show, but you know, as far as like, you know, there's nothing better than writing a new joke. Like the reason people want to get into TV writing is because if you get on a good show, the money's great. But it's not like it's, you know, you're kind of bogged down a lot of the times. It's somebody else's idea. There's usually a narrow area you can pitch to. And, you know, although the money's good creatively, it can get kind of stifling,
mm-hmm.
you know, which wouldn't be the same if it was your show, but you're on someone else's. I mean, don't get me wrong. I really love doing it, but that's not the dream. The dream is, you know, to kind of, you know, make money from your own stuff, whether that's stand up, whether that's a show, mm-hmm. Whether that's a podcast, but it's from your own stuff. That's like the dream.
Well, you're a man of today because we live in a DIY world.
Yeah, that's, I mean, and you know what? I kind of really only started, like, I just started posting on Reels like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to get, you know, like I'm, you know, people, you know, it's fun, you know, it's starting to become a nice tool. It's a pain in the ass.
It is.
But it's a total pain in the ass, and it costs money because you got to pay some guy to edit it. But it's good because it can kind of give you, with like all the clips that I have, it can kind of give you almost new life, you know?
Yeah, I definitely see that. I see that a lot of people are able to gain interest in what they're doing on stage through social media. Obviously, that's why a lot of people do it. They look at it as a tool.
Yeah.
Do you see it as a tool, or do you see it as a creative outlet?
For me, it's a tool. You know, one of the things when I started posting is a lot of these guys who were doing like sketches, like what's his name? The guy that just, Ryan Wong just did one that was excellent about Hamas. Those are phenomenal.
Light topic, light stuff.
Yeah, we don't have to go into that. But like, those are phenomenal. But like, those guys are so ahead of, like, in a lot of ways. Like, I'm still doing it. I still do those. I did like a little video here and there. But like, those guys are so ahead of the game that, like, for me, it's more, I'm going to show podcast clips and stand up clips because that's something I feel like I have a leg up on,
sure.
rather than, you know, some of these guys who have just been internet creators forever. And, you know, they're like my buddy, Evan Williams, is also a great stand up. Like, he's excellent at all that TikTok stuff. And it is an art when he does it. So it's a little bit like, for me, I think stand up is like kind of the way to go.
Now, Dan, your audience mainly knows you from stand up. I would say
that's also the.
Yeah. So the special's coming out. Do you have any idea when it's going to drop? Like, what?
I mean, I want to get it in before the end of the year. It's done. It's ready. I mean, right now it's just going to be like, it's literally the color is just getting corrected. You know, like, sure. it's done. It's just, we just have to figure out the best rollout strategy.
Where'd you film it?
Filmed it at Old Man Hustle at Brooklyn Comedy Club.
Okay.
At Old Man Hustle. It's called Old Man Hustle. It's in Williamsburg. It's a new club there. Shout out, Ed. And I had Adrian Iapolucci open, who's amazing. And I had Scott Chaplin co-host of Wrestle Roast, the show that I'm sometimes on. I'm not on as much as I used to be. He was hosting. He did a great job. So It was a blast. It was a really fun night.
Well, you know, I first met
Shout out Sam Black, who got it filled, really.
Yeah. I first met you down at Ric Flair's Roast in Tennessee last year.
Oh, my God.
And you had a rough night that night. And I don't want to relive it with you, but I just want you to know something. I was in the crowd, and I don't think I saw you very much after.
Yeah,
I saw you a lot before, and I didn't see you very much after that night. And I just wanted to tell you, that room did not get you, my friend.
No, I know. you didn't have to tell me that. I was
there. I know. But the, oh, and the noises from people who just, I could not believe, didn't understand what a roast was.
It was so bizarre because I bombed in the room mostly, except for there was like a fight, like the last row of people in the back were cackling like witches. So it was like this weird thing where it was like silence. And then all the like people who loved mean comedy were in the back going like,
and I was with those people in spirit, but I was up towards the front and I was surrounded by people who looked like they wanted to kill me if I was laughing at that. So well, I was just like, going.
I'm actually surprised nobody punched me afterwards, but nobody did. Rick shook my hand and, you know,
well, that's what I want to know, because here, folks, we all know what a roast is. If you're watching this show, you're a fan of comedy. We know that.
I have not seen the tape yet.
Okay.
So, okay. I don't know how it was. I mean, I remember I told the first joke. The first joke I did was a joke about Sonya Deville's stalker.
Yeah, she had somebody showed up to try to kidnap her at her house. And it was horrifying.
I did a joke about, like, I did another wrestling show at The Stand where that's also how I opened couple months prior, and it crushed. Like, Drake Maverick was there. Like, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of guys like, what's his name? You know, Jim and Sam Roberts.
Sure.
They were there. They loved it. So I made the mistake, and when I did the roast of Bruce Pritchard, I killed, and I made the mistake of thinking it was going to be the same type of crowd, which is like the internet savvy wrestling fan crowd.
Yeah,
it was not.
See, here's what the difference was: marketing as to who was there, because you did the first Pritchard roast was at Starcast, which was put on by Conrad Thompson, former guest of the show.
Yeah.
Shout out to Conrad. But that was a lot of people who really got it and got like the energy of what was happening. Ric Flair's roast was at something that, you know,
like a car shield convention.
It was I have a feeling that it's going to look a lot like an AARP like trade show
It felt like. Exactly. That's exactly what it felt like. And I thought they were going to tear me apart online. The one saving grace is that I got online and read it, and they were pretty nice to me, which is hilarious because Reddit can be nasty as fuck. So
it's a cesspool. I'm well aware.
Yeah. So it's like the room itself hated me, and then I got online, and I seemed to have done better than I thought, but it was it wasn't. Hey, man, like, I wrote for the White House Correspondent, the one that Michelle Wolff did where she pissed everybody off.
Yep.
So I had my hillbilly, low rent, you know, CD list version of that. That's what I did.
Well, I just don't know if you saw how Rick closed out the night. Did you?
I did. And I thought that was awful. Like, the way Rick closed.
Yeah, everybody.
Here's really annoying about it.
Okay.
Is that, like, we were kind of like given directions of what jokes to make fun of. What there were two areas you were supposed to not make fun of. One area said, absolutely not. We're all making fun of that area. The other area I agreed we shouldn't have made fun of. And we didn't. We didn't touch that area. But the other one, I'm like, no, that's Rick's problem. You know, and Rick was kind of in damage control because of the whole Dark Side episode.
Yeah.
So at the end of the night, he made it like he was defending these women that we were making fun of. Vicky Guerrero, who then got in trouble a couple months later, and Tori Wilson. Like, he made it like so like we were being these meanies or something like that. Yeah. And the reason he was doing that is because he had gotten heat for Dark Side, so he wanted to be looked like, oh, I'm good with women. I want you to, and I'm like, this is a roast, man. You take out everybody. You take out the men, women, children, dogs, cats. That's the roast, brother.
So Rick went up and gave a speech about how it was wrong to make fun of any of the women that were on the dais, and women who participated in the roast, which is really, in a way, it's self-sexist that the women can't participate in the roast.
He doesn't understand anything.
I understand that. Yeah, a lot of concepts.
He's very good at wrestling.
Yes,
that's what Rick is good at.
Nobody asked him to do any wrestling that night, and no, maybe they should have.
We were. It's like that. Neil Brennan has a great bit about when football players, you know, get in trouble. Who's the guy from Baltimore Ravens?
Ray Lewis.
Ray Rice. Ray Rice.
Yeah.
Guy who hit his girlfriend in the elevator, and Ray Rice hits him, and then he hits his wife, and then he goes, "Oh no, I did football in the elevator." You know, and I think that's like, that's kind of what, you know, these guys aren't, and not to mention this, the roast itself was like the opposite of star studded. You know, I just don't think that they understood, you know, Conrad has done a great job with these star casts, and he did a great job with the first one. I don't think that they understood. I don't think they were particularly happy with my performance, and I don't think I'll be back, but I think that this was just never gonna, like, Rick is not that guy, man. You know, like,
it was a bad move for
you
who
have
he
to
is.
Be a specific guy. I think Cena would be really good at it. There's a few wrestlers who I think would be excellent at it. Mm-hmm. I think Cena would be pretty good. I think Rock would be good within, like, Punk would be terrible. You know, there's certain people that would not be good at this thing. And Rick's one of those guys who just, you know, he's a mark for himself. And that's, you know, and I get it too, because, you know, in his life, he's done so much as a wrestler, but he's lost so much as a person that, like, you know, it's hard for him to not, he's got to live as that Ric Flair character. So when you have somebody who is a kind of high on their own supply, they're not going to necessarily have the best sense of humor about themselves. You know,
when you're trying so hard to be something and somebody's making fun of that something you're trying very hard to still be.
Yeah,
it's probably not a great feeling.
I think, like, a lot of guys too, like the way I do roast is different than, like, the Friars. I'm not really doing roast. I don't do the wrestle roasts anymore. Like, it's kind of ceiling. I'm not one of the best roasters in the world. Like, Mike Lawrence is way better at than me. So it's not like something I want to invest in all the time, but mm-hmm. there are two types of roasts, and the type of roast that I do are much, you know, I'm much more of like the, you know, the Mike Lawrence, Greg Giraldo school, or then there's a kind of the Jeff Ross, everybody's laughing together thing. Or, like, you know, like, if you look at the old Friar Clubs roast, like, you know, when Sidney Poitier was on with Sinatra. Yeah. And I think that's what these guys think when they agree to do a roast, that's going to be like all their friends having fun. And sure, that's an aspect of it, but, like, if you get comedians who don't know you, they're just going to write the meanest jokes possible,
right?
You know,
so people, you know, I guess the schools are roast and then Five Alarm.
Yeah,
as I will say. Yeah, there's the people who just burn the house down, and then there's the people who are just, like, having the barbecue. All right, well,
yeah,
let's talk about what you are doing right now. You have a brand new podcast that you're doing with your wife.
Yes, the It Couple. I'm hosting with my wife Sarah Jo. Our thing during COVID was watching a horror movie every day. So I'm like, let's just do a podcast about it. So the premise is like, I want to show my wife movies that are scarier than being married to me. You know,
a good
so
idea, good move.
I look, yeah.
It's great move.
This way she can't leave, you know. She's like, I'm like, hey, I may shit the bed, but I'm not Leatherface. So I've been watching that, and then we kind of like, we talk about, like, what's the lesson the movie is teaching you as far as, like, how to survive, and ultimately, like, you know, like, it's just been a blast, man. This week we have Scotty Landis on, who wrote Ma. About Silence of the Lambs. I believe next week we have Joe DeRosa doing The Exorcist. So we got a lot of really great, you know, the good thing about being in this as long as I've been is that I'm friends with just a lot of funny people.
Yeah.
So I'm able to get them on the show. So we're doing that. And then, yeah, the new special is going to come out, and I'm developing that show with Dan. And then, you know, there's on to the next hour.
All right. So let me ask this question. Maybe give me some hot gossip on the show with Dan. I know there's probably a lot you can't talk about, I'm sure, but writer strike holding you up, any of that stuff?
No,
is that what the cause is?
I mean, first off, like, we this was IATSE, which is different than Writers Guild.
Okay.
But the Writers Guild stuff is, even if we were Writers Guild, that's signed up. SAG's gonna, you know, like, we haven't made it yet. We just handed them the script.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we're gonna probably get notes for a second draft. We can't film it right now because of SAG.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, there is a script written. I will say that.
Okay.
It's funny and weird and different. This is not a roast, this kind of script. We don't take really any shots at wrestling, but it's in the world of wrestling. And I'm really proud of how it turned out. I think me and Dan did a good job. The show's changed a lot, but I think it's something that, you know, hopefully they green light. Cause I think, like, you know, it would, if you're going on to Peacock to check out wrestling anyway, and then you see, wow, there's a show called Stone Cold Law. Not to mention the fact that Steve is still one of the most searched, is maybe the most searched wrestler still. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we hope they give it a shot, you know, whether it will or not.
So
I don't know. TKO just bought WWE. It's in a lot of ways, we got permission from a company that now doesn't exist anymore, you know, like, because we got permission from WWE.
Sure.
For creative control. But now the people who,
for those of you who don't know what the show is, Stone Cold Law is Stone Cold Steve Austin, the lawyer, correct?
Yeah. Essentially, Stone Cold. I'm not going to get any more details.
Well, I know that because Dan told us, Soder told us the last time he was on.
Yeah. And it's a cartoon, and it's really weird and funny and absurd. And, you know, it's a different type of show that you've seen. And
well, it's a show that's made tailor made for me. So I'm in, yes. I want to watch it. I need you to get it made.
Well, unfortunately, I don't know if you noticed the free hoodie I just took from you. I don't know if I have that power.
Okay, so you're just walking all over here, taking a hoodie. You're not even giving me hoodies. A great cartoon with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
No, I can't. I guarantee you, I want the show made more than you do.
I don't know.
I don't know if it's going to get.
Say that.
You know, I don't. I mean, there's an audience for it. I don't know. You know, like, I hope they make it. Yeah, you know, I hope they at least give us a pilot.
Well, they'd be out of their minds not to. Just the second they announce. Well, number one, I mean, I'm going to have to sit here and, like, tout the virtues of what a good idea it is. We live in a world where Mike Tyson's Mysteries was made, and it was phenomenal, and people loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that that's the show that we'll probably get compared to the most.
I would imagine.
But it's the tone's very different.
Sure.
You know, I mean, look, that show had Norm Macdonald, and we don't, so that'll always be, you know, something. But
Had,
that's what I mean. But yeah, man, we had a lot of fun with the show, and you know, I hope it gets made, dude. You know, you put a lot of work into something, you hope it gets made.
Well, we're rooting for you, man. Now, thanks, folks, buddy. You have four more opportunities to see Dan St. Germain here at Comedy at the Carlson with Dan Soder. I wanted to make sure we got Dan SG in the studio, just because we wanted to make sure you guys knew he was here. I know that you're touring with Dan, and sometimes, like, you know. You know, people see, oh, Soder's coming, but this is, in a lot of ways, a double headliner show, folks.
I'd say so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I don't think I'm as good as Dan, but I'm pretty good.
Yeah. This is a hot show. You don't get this very often. So take advantage of it. Go see Dan and Dan tonight. And I believe RJ Papura is your MC. I love that guy. I'm looking forward to tomorrow night, and I hope to see you folks there. You get your tickets now at carlsoncomedy.com for that. Now, if you want to follow Dan, you can find him at danstgermain.net. It's not .com. You can find links to .net,
yeah, unfortunately.
You can find links to podcasts. You can find links to past podcasts.
Everything, man. Well, follow me on Instagram. I'm trying to build that fucker.
That's Dan St. Germain.
Yeah, and I'm on TikTok, and I have a YouTube channel I'm trying to build for the first time. I'm basically doing all the stuff right now that I should have been doing 5 years ago. But, like, because I was in the, you know, bouncing from show to show writing, I didn't want to do them. But now I'm doing them.
Yeah. Well, it's about time you caught up. Well, I'm glad you did.
For sure.
Glad you did. Dan St. Germain, ladies and gentlemen, and follow the links. They'll be in the description of this episode. Get your tickets, and we'll see you at a show. Remember to act right, Rochester, and we'll see you next time. Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget, we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at Carlson Cast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit carlsoncast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review.